It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and joining us in studio in his familiar seat now on our set. Yeah. Happy to have the general manager, Brandon Bean, with us. On behalf of Governor Cuomo and the state of New York, we'd like to thank you for all the jobs you've created over the last week. You are the number one job creator in New York State right now.
Permanent agency.
No, it's been fun meeting a lot of good guys, even some of the guys that we haven't hired. It's been a fun process just to get to know the character of some of these men, which I put a lot of emphasis on.
Seven days you've been on the job, or at least here in Buffalo, six hires. More to come, I'm sure, right? But let's talk about some of the hires you've made in the Bills personnel department, and let's work backwards. Let's start with yesterday when you named a couple of national scouts. First of all, explain for our audience, if you could, exactly what a national scout does, Brandon. Right.
So a national scout is he's an overseer. He's checking over that. We call him an over-the-top scout. So we have our area scouts that we divide up by region, and then we have two that will split the country. And that's going to be their job. They're going to split up, and we'll do it. We haven't divvied it out. I've seen teams go east and west. I've seen them go north and south. We'll work it. Some of them are more familiar with certain schools in a certain area, but basically it's the second look behind the area scout. And when they make their look, then they're giving it to Joe Shane and myself and Brian Gain of, all right, you definitely do need to come to school X. Don't worry about going to this school. We got that. The guy's not as good as we thought.
Is it, are they on the ground? Like, do they travel, or they keep offices here in Buffalo, or
no,
are they out all the time?
No, they will travel. They'll work from their area, and they're just like a scout. Their travel will be more, they'll spend more time on planes than probably cars, because they could have to cover from the east to the west coast, depending on how we divide it up.
Let's talk about the guys named yesterday. Marvin Allen comes to the Bills, 24 years experience. That's pretty extensive experience for him.
Yeah, I was thrilled. Marvin kind of popped up late. Joe and I on Sunday had a lot of names that we were going through, and Marvin was not one of them. He was, at the time, college scouting director for Kansas City. And they were having some changes. They were swapping some things around, and I got word that they would potentially let him out. They were going to reorganize their deal. And Marvin was the college scouting director in Kansas City. So to get him as a national scout is going to be great. He's been with the Patriots, the Falcons, the Chiefs, and now the Bills.
That's like a lifer, scouting lifer, 24 years.
Yes, it is. You can't replace his experience, and he's a great man.
Tell me, the other national scout hired yesterday, Brian Adams. What can you tell us about him?
So I was very familiar with Brian. Brian and I had some Carolina ties. I think Brian started around 2002, and he left around the late or first decade of the 2000s and became the assistant director for the New Orleans Saints. Since they had some changes, he left, and he was most recently an area scout with the Cowboys. So this was back a step up for him.
He played in the NFL?
He did not.
Oh, he did not?
He
okay.
Did not, no.
I kind of want to get back to, and we can get back to these guys, but I want to get back to just the process, the entire process. So after the Blesto meetings and you have your area scouts, these guys will go out. You have your list of, guys around the country. Mm-hmm. Is there more of an emphasis on going to, the smaller school guys? Because the big schools, I mean, you're going to see these guys on TV and everything. So, of course, you're going to go see those guys, but just trying to get out to every small school out there to find that hidden gem.
Yeah, it's important to do your research, and the guys will be doing that in the summer, of what you can't make every small school. So where are there some guys? And most of these guys have done that last year. As you've checked around schools, hey, we don't really have anybody this year, but next year we've got this wide receiver that's, he's kicking tail, or this defensive lineman. So make sure you get back through here. There's a lot of talk. That's where the Blesto guys really help. The Blesto guys' main job is to get to all those small schools and make sure that they have, vetted them out, and to see if there is anything there that we need to take a look at.
And you look at small schools. Are there small schools out there that are kind of traditionally – putting out talent, putting guys into the NFL that you typically, we need to go see the school, even though they might not be saying they have a guy?
It varies. There are times when there have been some small schools that have, back in the day, Boise was a smaller school, and they built it up and have advanced, but they were putting out some players. There's been some junior colleges that have that have had some great players. The Santa Monica Junior College had Steve Smith and Chad Johnson on the same
time,
team.
Yeah.
So there are some different schools. I don't think it's always, this school is always putting them out. I think it varies. Sometimes they go on a run, or a certain coach that was playing at a, or coaching at a higher level had some connections.
Mm-hmm. With Brandon Bean, the Bills' general manager, talking about the scouting department, the personnel staff as it comes together. Earlier yesterday, you announced Lake Dawson, the assistant director of college scouting. Again, an extensive resume, and he was way up in some personnel departments, right?
Yes. Lake, you know, one of the things you, first thing you like about Lake is he did play, good college player at Notre Dame, played in the league. Brings that experience, worked his way up from the bottom of the personnel ranks, became a VP of player personnel for the Titans most recently. They had some changes a few years back, but and he, you know, he went to Cleveland after that and became an area scout. But Lake actually interviewed for several GM jobs, you know, in his history, and brings a wealth of experience, talent, and he's a good man as well, and he's going to work hard for us.
He is assistant director of college scouting.
He'll be assistant director of college
scouting. Is there a director of college scouting?
We don't have one right now.
It's a position to be filled?
It's a position that we may fill. We're still up in the air. I've always believed you don't put somebody in the seat if that's not what you want. Mm-hmm. And there are some options out there. I think I mentioned earlier, you can't always get guys out of contract. So targeted a few guys, still massaging what's going to be available or not. But we have enough experience if we decide not to fill it with Joe and Brian and myself and some of these other guys that have been in the seat to cover it, that we would be fine.
How valuable is it to have former players as scouts?
You know, you can't replace that. You know, mm-hmm. a guy, and I think that brings a respect before you even, you know, pull out their scouting card, that they have played, they know what it looks like. But they still have to do the work. There's a lot of players that think they want to get into scouting, and you know, it sounds glamorous and all that, but then you realize all the days on the road and the nights and the hours. These guys, like Lake, have not only done it, not even talked the talk, they've walked the walk, and you can't replace that.
I don't think it sounds glamorous at all, really.
It doesn't sound glamorous to me at
right?
all.
Where's the glamour part? What?
I think just, you know, the fantasy football world of picking players and drafting. You know, everybody gets all hyped up about the draft, but think of all the work that goes into before you actually get to draft.
Yeah. Those guys work. I've seen them. I've seen how they work. They drive around and to various colleges in the middle of the week all by themselves for the most part, right?
Right. There's nothing glamorous at all. It's planes, trains, and automobiles.
Right.
It's a lot of nights on the road, especially when you have families. It's tough. And, you know, these guys that I've added have all – I mean, literally got more experience than I ever thought I'd get in this first run.
And it's like, you know, you're going to schools that are, like, literally in the middle of nowhere, just like schools you never heard of. These guys are driving to these schools.
Yeah, you don't bump into some of these schools. You have to try to go there. Yeah.
We're with Brandon Bean, Bills general manager, talking about the structure of his personnel department. Earlier this week, you named Malik Boyd as director of pro personnel. Talk about that role and how you envision that role in your personnel structure.
So Malik, he brings a lot of experience. I've told you guys, just like players, linemen. I love linemen that are tackles and guards, versatility, flexibility. Malik's another one. Just like Lake had done pro in college, Malik has done pro in college. He cut his teeth in the college game. Steve Keim, who gave him a great recommendation, said, you know what, this guy needed to see what an office looks like, see the dynamics of, you know, players' contracts and things like that. Malik has not been exposed to a lot of it, but he knows what it looks like. He's been an assistant pro director in Arizona, and he brings, you know, great experience. He's got a bright star and a bright future.
I wonder, does your pro personnel department, your director even, do they do advanced scouting, or is it all just looking at potential free agents?
Yeah, he'll do it all, do advanced scouting. He'll also teach. You know, we're going to have three scouts underneath him. So just like we grow and develop players, that's part of his role that I talked about, grow and develop the guys underneath him. So, but yes, he'll advance. He'll teach some of the younger guys that we have, if they have not advanced before, how to do that. Obviously, he'll have a short list ready when we have injuries in training camp, into the season. He'll be monitoring practice squads, other teams' practice squads. You know, we have to look for any avenue to get the best players to, and we'll constantly try and churn the bottom of our roster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I've gotten to know some pro scouts, advanced scouts, and it's funny. It's not funny, but it's interesting to observe them. They do a lot of their work in the 45 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that? You probably are familiar.
100%. You know, their job is to know the opponent that we're going to play, you know, in the coming weeks, and they've done a lot of research on them. They're out there watching pregame. Who's warming up? Is anybody not? What's, you know, this guy's been on the injury report. Does it look like he's going to play this week? Well, they've got to let our coaches know, hey, he was inactive this week. But I did see him running around. He looked pretty good. You should expect him to play next week. So it's important for them to be at the game. Their time and how quick they're coming out of the huddle. When they're snapping the ball. Are they snapping it before 20 seconds, before 10 seconds? Are they running it down? How many times are they checking? They're looking for all the signals that are going on, trying to pick up, cues and clues. It's a big job to help, it'll be very important for Sean and his staff.
Well, and so people know it's the object, I believe, is to supplement the coach's video, right? So
yes.
The coach's video is cut pretty tight. You don't see what goes on in between snaps.
100%. You need to be there to feel the game, understand there's things that happen in the game that you may not know just from watching the film, or you may have to do more research. So they're filling in all the cracks that the tape itself doesn't bring, because there's not volume. There's not the weather necessarily. I mean, you can see snow and things, but right. It may be a windy day that you couldn't tell was windy necessarily on tape.
Hey, Brandon, I was telling Donald and some of the guys in the office, I actually know pro scouts in their role as advanced scouts. And these guys, we were talking about radio shows, but they told me that, if my team's playing the Jets, I'm listening to the Jets radio station and reading the newspapers, what they're saying in the week leading up to it, just trying to collect information. Is that part of it, too?
100%. You'll see these guys, most of them with earphones in, and they've got, the local – air game going on, whatever radio station it is, and they're listening because there's nuggets. Hey, such and such, he's missed this, or he was doing this at practice this week, or they said he's 80% and he'll be back. There's all sorts of nuggets that you can get, and you want to have your antenna up for anything.
I'm curious, and you've still got work to do assembling your staff, but who are some of the scouts that most impressed you in your years in the league? Is there anybody, as a pro scout maybe, that you thought, this guy really does it right? He's like the model for what I'd like my pro scouts to be.
Well, Brian Gain was probably the guy that I had a target on for whatever role I could get. Brian is, we named him our VP of player personnel.
Right.
And the great thing about Brian is he's been in this division. He was with the Jets. He was actually on the Jets roster at one point, and then he turned it into a scout and was with the Cowboys, the Dolphins, and then most recently with the Texans. But saw Brian, talk ball with him. Brian is so detailed with every single thing. I mean, he's like me almost. He's a little bit OCD about it, but he's a pro's pro. He was a guy I always had my eye on.
Brandon, 3 days of OTAs wrapped up yesterday. And by the way, I saw Brian on the sidelines. I saw Joe Shane on the sidelines. So you guys are getting to know your team. Are there any initial observations you've had from the first 3 days of OTAs?
Not individually as players. I think guys are making plays and guys are settling in. But I liked what was going on yesterday. Sean did a good job. They worked on some game management situations. Mm-hmm. It's fourth down. Okay, it's going to be third and six after this. We're going to clock it. Punt team, be ready. Field goal team, be ready. And there was a couple of errors, a couple mistakes. They're getting it going. But it's good to go ahead and get those guys thinking about these situations, because when we get to camp, it's going to be more important to be ready for those. And I thought, Sean jumped them a couple times, which I thought was necessary. But the more they do it, the more they rep it, the better they'll be when we get to the fall.
How much can you get on an evaluation of a group or even just an individual player in the time like this when they don't have pads on, right? They're just running around in shorts and helmets.
Yeah, I think the skills, it's easier right now to you can see the speed, mm-hmm. you can see the footwork, you can see the vision of LeSean McCoy cutting through there. The linemen, the with the rules the way they are and the no pads, you can see their athletic ability, or limited athletic ability, but you're not going to see the tenacity, the fire, the power, all those things that you look for. Tight ends is really important. This guy can be a great receiver. I've seen it before. I've been fooled. This guy's kicking tail in May and June. Mm-hmm. But when we get to August as a tight end, he's still got to be able to block and hold the point of attack and handle a DN. And so we're going to find out a lot when we get to
I think receivers camp are the same way, man. They look good right now until you get into – July, and it's like we put the pads on, guys are actually on your back and everything, and they can't catch. They drop passes. So, it's just so different once you get the pads on.
Donald and I were impressed by just in general the overall tempo and pace and almost intensity of just day three of OTAs yesterday. You could see it on the field.
Yeah, one of the things Sean talked about here was he wasn't fired up about some of the things he saw in last year's practices, pulling them up. And you know, I'm used to what we had in Carolina, so I have not been able to see some of that. But
so he went back and looked at video last year's practice.
You know, I'm pretty sure he went back and looked at last year's video just to see the, you know, the tempo. And
yeah.
And everybody's got their own. That's not to take a shot, but you know, Sean is a detailed guy. You know, he's going to want everything regimented out. We're going to be bam, bam. We're not going to be walking around the field. We're running from this drill to this drill, from this period to this period. You're going to see that. That's how he's wired, and that's what he's used to.
I'm not sure if you guys did this down in Carolina. I believe you guys, and during training camp, practice against other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you would like to bring up here? When I was here, we didn't do it.
Right.
And I wanted to because I get tired of practicing against my own guys.
Yeah. You know what? We did it a few years ago with Miami. We didn't last season, but when I was with Carolina, we actually set it up. They're going to be scrimmaging the Titans week two of preseason. So it is something that I would be interested in. It's important of what team you're partnering up with. You know, you don't want to put somebody you're playing this, you know, during the season. Also, is that coach going to align with your values of making sure we're protecting the quarterbacks? You don't want anybody to get hurt. You want to have good work. And you got to make sure both coaches – talk to their teams. There's no fighting. If it's just pointless. You get people hurt, and it's a waste of everybody's time. But you can get some very good work if both teams are focused and disciplined.
When you're going throughout the course of training camp, and then all of a sudden now we have another team that we're going to scrimmage and we're going to practice against them, do you see the intensity kind of kick up? Because in training camp, once you get in a week and a half, it's like, oh, man, it's hot.
Yep.
Practicing against the same guys, you might see the intensity kind of die down. But if you bring another team in, do you see it kind of kick up a notch?
It most definitely does. It feels more like a game. There's a competition to it even more. I don't want this guy showing me up. And two, it lets us see who can step up a little bit. You know, this is the first chance to really see that. And, you know, also maybe I'm a left tackle and I've been going against the DN we got, and maybe he's not as good as the guy here. Let me see how, you know, or maybe our guy's a speed guy. Now he's got to face a power guy.
Yeah.
How does he adjust? And see, you know, you'll see how guys react differently, you know, to who they're going against.
Yeah. Brandon, thanks for this. Go out and hire some more people.
Sounds good. On my way.
Thanks, Brandon. We appreciate it.